What's up out there, Virginia fans? This is Mike Pittman at Wahoo Basketball. Thank you for joining me tonight. This is a very special edition of the podcast. I thought leading up to this awesome, huge in-state game Tuesday night, it'd be fun to kind of get both sides of the perspective. And I wanted to invite a VCU guy in that would essentially give us his opinion as to why he thinks VCU will beat UVA, and I'll quite simply tell you why I think Virginia's going to beat VCU. Michael Litos, who is an on-air guy for VCU, a guy that does a lot of radio and an extremely knowledgeable VCU guy, I want to thank him very much for joining me because obviously I know he's tremendously busy with the start of the season and everything else. The fact that he decided to join me for this little podcast, I couldn't be more grateful. So thanks a lot, Mike. Obviously, my work's cut out for me because this guy is knows his stuff big time. I'll start by saying, you know, I just want you guys to know, any VCU fans listening, that I'm a big VCU guy, usually. I pull for VCU. I'm a Richmond guy, born and bred. Big fan of what that program has become. Big fan of the school in general. I met my wife on campus when she was a freshman, literally in the dorms. I've done some certificate programs and stuff there myself throughout my career, and being a college basketball junkie, you know, what they built there is just remarkable. I give Norwood Teague, obviously he's not there anymore, but what he built through Jeff Capel and Anthony Grant, Shaka Smart, I just give them so much credit. It's just an amazing atmosphere in that building at the Siegel Center, one of the most electric environments I've ever been in college basketball, and you could take me to any 15,000 seat arena or whatever, and I'll take VCU any day of the week. It truly is remarkable. Obviously, for Tuesday night, my allegiances lie elsewhere, but just know that the respect is there for the VCU program. It really has been remarkable. Why Virginia wins the game? I'll start with the obvious one. We're playing at home. Like I just said, the Siegel Center is one of the best environments in the country, but John Paul Jones Arena has become a tough place to win also. 33-5 in the last 2 years, Virginia is 19 consecutive wins at home last season, which was the second longest streak in Division I. And, you know, it's much like Havoc kind of thrives in its environment. You know, I think we do what we do really well at home. And I think some VCU fans I talk to are a little delusional about how many VCU fans are going to be there. Look, you'll be there. You'll have a lot of people there. And you'll be loud, because that's what you do. I'm not doubting that. But don't sell it short, the fact that Virginia also is at a point where, you know, we haven't been in a long time. There's a lot of buzz in Charlottesville, and this is a very key early marquee game. So I know a lot of Virginia fans bought tickets as well. I think it's going to be a tremendous environment. And, you know, obviously I think we have a little bit of an advantage playing in our building. From an X's and O's standpoint, you know, I've also talked to some VCU fans that think that you guys are going to get us up and down the court, and this is going to be some kind of track meet game that you're just going to take us out of what we do. I can tell you it's next to impossible to take us out of what we do. It really is. Everything that we do is predicated on forcing you to play against five defenders, and we don't really need any kind of catalyst to make it happen. It you know, whether it's a made basket, missed basket, it doesn't matter. I think one of the big misnomers about Virginia is that we creep and crawl our way through games offensively. The truth is, the reason why our scores are so low and the reasons why the possessions are so low is because teams we play against are battling against that shot clock every possession. And if you've been a Virginia fan, you've seen it over the last 4 years. Teams always, you know, are quite often having to take shots that they didn't want to take. They're, you know, forced to take late in the shot clock, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. We don't want to give you a look that you want to take. We want to force you to take a shot. And, you know, it's extremely effective, and I think that even if VCU is moderately successful at turning us over in the half court, the bottom line is you're still going to have to execute the overwhelming majority of this game against one of the hardest defenses to execute against in the country, period. And it's not just, you know, from a score standpoint, that's the misnomer, is that, oh, you know, we're just so slow, that's why scores are so low. No, you know, scores are low because it's so hard to squeeze a shot off against us. And I think that, like I said, even if you guys are moderately successful at turning us over, it's going to be a battle for you to get good looks against us. And to that vein, my next point, I think your post guys will struggle to get good looks. And I think one big advantage, if I try to come up with one big advantage I think we have in the game and one reason why I think we win, I think we're going to have a lot easier time getting high percentage looks than VCU is. I really do, because our post presence, from an offensive standpoint, is the strongest that we've had and probably ever, depth-wise. And defensively, another wrinkle of the pack line, if anybody is an offensive-minded, dominant postman, he's going to get trapped, he's going to get doubled. It's already a jumbled mess. See, the pack line packs all these bodies around the basket, and it clogs up the lanes, and it just makes getting clean looks around the basket next to impossible. And if you look up and down Virginia's box scores over the years, pick out a dominant post player, a guy that's supposed to be the big man that you can just dump it down to for easy buckets, and look at those guys and look at their numbers against Virginia. I mean, they speak for themselves. Mason Plumlee and Alex Lynn just come immediately to mind from last year. I think Mason, who was ACC Player of the Year, I think he had 10 against Virginia with 2 field goals. Alex Lynn, who was a lottery pick, I think he had 8 and 2 field goals or something like that. It's just really tough sledding for the guys inside. And I know Javonte Redick, who is a tremendous player, A-10 Player of the Year probably. I know he's more of an extend you out and maybe face you up, mid-range jump shot kind of guy. But, him and Shannon, I think no matter where they are, it's just going to be tough for them to get quality looks. And I think conversely, with some of the options we have in Akil Mitchell and Darian Atkins and Mike Toby and Anthony Gill and Evan Nolte, I think we're going to do a better job of getting those high percentage looks. Another thing I want to point out is I think, talking to some VCU fans, I think that there's this misconception that there's this big talent disparity and depth disparity. I'll tell you this. I know VCU is an extremely talented team. I know they're deep. Well, Virginia is very deep themselves. I think Jeff Goodman, writer for ESPN, used to be at CBS, I think one of the better writers in the business, he called Virginia the 5th deepest team in the country. We have 9 players on our roster that have scored at least 13 points in a college game, and we can go deeper than that. So where I think the Havoc defense does a great job of wearing teams down over the length of a game, our team does a tremendous job of wearing you down over the length of a possession. And I think, it's going to come to a head one way or the other, but both teams are deep. I don't think VCU's going to wear us down physically. We're too deep. That's something that I have not been able to say about Virginia teams in a long time, but I find it to be, I just, this season, it's something that I think is, it's been a long, long time since Virginia has had this kind of depth. And talent wise, we're an ACC school that has recruited a lot of ACC level talent. I mean, look, we have 2 Mr. Basketballs from their home states. We have 2 other Gatorade Player of the Years in their states. We have got a guy that was on the under-19 national team, coincidentally, coached by Shaka Smart and Tony Bennett under Billy Donovan over the summer. We've got a guy that turned down a couple guys named Thad Mata and Roy Williams to transfer to Virginia that's eligible this year and had a heck of a first game Friday night. We've got a ACC Player of the Year candidate and a guy that Jay Billis calls the most underappreciated, undervalued player in the country in Joe Harris. Third-team All-ACC guy in Akil Mitchell. You just go up and down the roster, and we have talent and depth, too. And talking to some VCU fans, I just want to remind them this isn't the Virginia team of the mid-90s. We've been slowly building this thing ourselves in Charlottesville. 2 years ago, we were in the NCAA, obviously. Last year, we were the first team out with the 19th youngest team in the country. 40% of our minutes were played by freshmen last year. Okay, all those guys are a year older, a year stronger, and you know, it's the talent and depth disparity is not significant, and I don't see that being a big factor. I see execution being the determining factor in this game. I don't know how confident I am. You know, if you want me to give you a reason as to why I think VCU wins the game, I actually traditionally hate when people say that, you know, if they make a bunch of threes, they'll win, because that's just the dumbest, you know, analysis ever, because obviously I don't care if you're playing on your eighth grade basketball team. If you make a bunch of three-pointers, you're probably going to win. But the one thing about the pack line, see, you know, you're only... The only guy outside of the pack line is the guy defending the ball. Everyone else sags in to create all that, you know, massive bodies kind of around the basket. So it creates some space out there on the perimeter. And, of course, Virginia defenders are taught to close out with reckless abandon. And if you look at our numbers defending three-pointers, it actually has been pretty good the last few years. You know, within the top 100 last year, I believe. But still, some of these teams that shoot the ball deep, that are really confident out there, and that's one thing that I think is really remarkable about Shaka Smart's teams, they just shoot the ball with such confidence, and that's what scares me. You know, it sounds like such a simple thing, but I think it's a really big deal. They thrive off that atmosphere at the Siegel Center. They take it on the road with them. The Havoc system just breeds confidence in you, and... You know, the thing that scares me more than anything is just VCU squeezing off perimeter jump shots, guys like Graham and Brandenburg. And the way I like to say it is you can pretty much just shoot right over top the pack line. You know, the pack line is this defense that's designed to really make you grind out a possession and really force you to get a low percentage look. But, you know, if you've got quality shooters that are shooting it confidently, you could literally just pretty much go right over top of it. And that would be my biggest concern in the VCU game. So, I don't know how confident I am in this game. I'll tell you what I saw Friday night. You know, I saw glimpses, especially in our post, of what I discussed earlier, of really generating some really high percentage shots from our post players. There was some other things that you know, we didn't execute very well. And I want to credit Matt Brady, the head coach at JMU, who I think had a brilliant game plan going on the road and playing a ranked team for the first game of the season. He was just consistently, dramatically changing his defense from possession to possession, which really, really made it hard for us to figure out how we wanted to attack. Even Coach Bennett said so after the game, that he was a little befuddled on you know, what exactly we wanted to do based on JMU's defense. So I hope that played a role in it, but we looked a little jittery out there. You know, I think it's... understandable to some point, but we're going to have to snap out of that very quickly on Tuesday night. And I think the atmosphere will do that. I think the guys will kind of get it together. But, you know, I'm very curious to see what Vegas says about this game. I'm curious to see what the line is, because I really don't know what to expect. It's two teams that are very good and very deep. And, you know, it's a huge game. Obviously, it has NCAA implications, but it's not going to make or break either team's season. You know, if Virginia loses to the number 14 team in the country, even at home, it's not going to be devastating. If Virginia is able to win the game at home, it's not going to be a loss that's looked at as a bad loss, or it's not going to be devastating for VCU either. There's a long season ahead of us, but, you know, they're recruiting issues tied in with this, and obviously it's just a great thing for the resume. It's a great thing for the state. Really glad the coaches got this done, and the athletic departments got this home and home done. I hope it's something they carry on moving forward, and I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, I'll be there in attendance, and I think it's just going to be a fantastic game, and I hope both teams have go on to have really successful years. And this will be a true barometer, guys. Tuesday night, here we are, only a couple days away. I want to thank again Michael Litos, who you're about to hear in just a minute. He's going to give you his opinion as to why they win. I'm running a little late on time here. But thanks again, Mike. And you can tweet me at Wahoo Basketball if you have any comments on this. Also, he is, I think, at VCU Litos, L-I-T-O-S, on Twitter. VCUhoops.info, I believe, is his website. So make sure to tweet him, too, if you're a VCU or UVA fan. I'm sure his insights are going to be great. So I'll pass the mic over to him. Thanks a lot for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll do some more of these podcasts soon. Thanks a lot.
All right, so first I'd like to thank Wahoo Basketball for the opportunity. College basketball is so much fun, and it's so great, and the atmosphere is great, and games like this are exactly why college basketball is great, so I appreciate the opportunity. Just as a little background, I grew up a UVA season ticket holder, sat in U-Haul and saw everybody from Ivoroni and Langlow, Otis Fulton, straight through Lampraker, Ralph, all those guys, Othell Hotel, saw all that, even went to basketball camp there 4 years, so I have a very healthy respect and deep history with the program and just appreciate what you guys do up there. Anyway, so the best way I think for VCU to win this game it is to ice the ball and put it into a four corners attack and make the game so doggone ugly and so doggone bad that the NCAA has to put forth a new shot clock rule the next year. Oh no, wait, sorry, that was Dean Smith, and I'm still bitter 30 years later. Anyway, but seriously, the way for VCU to win that game, they're going to win it because they're going to turn the game sideways or make the game crooked, for lack of a better word. And what I mean by that is that the Havoc system, it's predicated on speed and energy and making your guys think instead of just making natural basketball plays. So on offense, you know, for you guys, that's an extra trapper coming from where you don't expect them to be, out in the middle of the court or, you know, down in the corner on a wing in a regular offensive set. It's forcing a big man to handle the ball in the open court and make a pass on the run and make a quick decision. So it's just doing those things that players aren't, you know, naturally predicated to do. You know, and it's, you guys are just so good at being kind of the irresistible force and moving forward like a tank. I believe VCU's margin is going to come from getting you uncomfortable and making guys do things they're not accustomed to, and making you do them faster than you want to do. That's something I think that's also not talked about enough, is, you know, getting guys to make quicker decisions and to try to make quicker passes and to try to get down the court faster. And that's one thing that, you know, you may see early success, but VCU subs a lot. Shaka Smart made 289 substitutions last season, which is a ridiculous number. So there's always fresh bodies coming at you. So, you know, those passes that made it over the top of traps, you know, are going to start being tipped. And tired legs, they won't let you turn the corner when you're trying to run from the traps. You know, that was one thing we did against Memphis so well last year. They thought they were cool as all get out and got a couple big dunks early in the game, but they got tired and we ended up wearing them out. But Havoc isn't only about defense. It's also on the offensive side of the ball, and it's crisp passes and it's hard cuts. Terrence Shannon, who we'll talk about in a minute and you guys know about, from Florida State, he boxed out on a rebound, and then he beat everybody down court to shoot a layup in our game last night. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. On offense, is guys moving around quickly on the court and getting to their spots fast. We're also a deeper team, and we've got a lot more talent than we used to have. You know, we may have only had one shooter last year and one guy in the post, but with Shannon, you know, our probably most explosive player, Javonte Redick at center, he's got all the skills. You know, Shannon gives him another guy to go to. We've got Trevion Graham. He's called the freight train. He's just a scorer. He's one of those guys who's totally unassuming, and you'll forget he's on the floor, but you'll look up at the box score, and he scored 15 points. He's just an incredible player. You know, so these days we have more players with skill as opposed to, you know, used to be able to get into our bench, and the talent level went down. So I think that's another reason why I think we'll win this game. Now, one of the other big reasons is that I don't think we're going to be awed by the moment or of the big crowd. One thing about Shaka Smart teams is that they really play with a sense of themselves and they play with a sense of the moment. So, you know, it's going to be a big crowd, a sold-out crowd, an angry crowd or a rowdy crowd or however you want to say it. But that's not going to impact this team like it would maybe a less intelligent team that comes into JPJ, NC State. these guys, you know, they're going to play within themselves and they're going to do what they do. That's something we talk about a lot is let's just do what we do. If you hear from anybody that, you know, this is going to be VCU's Super Bowl, they really don't know anything about our program. The guys in the program are going to treat this game very black and white. It is the opportunity to win on the road against a team that's going to be top 50 in the RPI, and that's something the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee is going to look at. You know, so our goals aren't to hang with and hopefully beat Virginia, hang with and hopefully beat, you know, Indiana or Purdue or, you know, pick a major conference school. You know, our goals are to win NCAA tournament games, and a game like this is a part of it and a big part of it, and they're going to treat it that way. It's in no way a Super Bowl for our guys. All that said, it's obviously going to be a tough game and a fun game with two great coaches X-ing and O-ing each other to death. I do think it's going to be less about pace. That's the big cliche, and it drives me crazy sometimes. You know, oh, it's the fast team against the slow team. I think it's going to be more about disruptions. You know, I think you guys win this game if you minimize disruptions. You know, and it comes back to, you know, your jersey thread counting defense. You know, it's so technically sound and it's so good. If you're able to play defense that way instead of being discombobulated by our different offensive sets or getting tired, minimizing those disruptions is great for you guys. I think turnover differential is the other thing. I think another misnomer of havoc is that, you know, we turn the ball over, or we turn people over 25 times a game. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's about turnover differential. So we may get, you know, we may force 15 turnovers, but only commit 5 to get to a plus 10. Or we may force 25 turnovers and commit 15, which is the same plus 10. So for us, it's not really about fast. We can adjust to any pace. It's about those disruptions. I'll tell you what, I'm very much looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's exactly the kind of game that these two programs should be playing. And for Tony Bennett to knock off the home and home with us, I think it's a great thing. And I will tell you one thing in closing that, yes, I do think VCU will win this game. But even if we don't, it's going to be enjoyable. But the best thing is that, you know, by the time February rolls around, I'm very much going to love the fact that we both beat the crap out of Virginia Tech. Have a great game, everybody. See you Tuesday.